Hey everyone, and welcome to Developer Tea. My name is Jonathan Cottrell, and in today's episode, I continue my interview with Christopher Schmidt. If you don't know who Christopher is, I suggest you go back and listen to the first part of the interview with Christopher. I will include a link to that in the show notes, which you can find at spec.fm. We don't have a sponsor for today, but Chris asked for me to share with you a call for speakers. It is the JavaScript Summit 2016. It's a remote conference. Chris is the head, or one of two heads, of Environments for Humans, and they are putting on the JavaScript Summit. So go and check it out. It will be in the show notes, and you can submit your talk to speak at the JavaScript Summit of 2016. Now let's jump straight into the interview with Christopher Schmidt. Chris, welcome back to the show. I am so ready to get started talking with you, but first I want to recap with you on what we talked about on the last episode. What did we talk about on the last episode, Chris?
We talked about my history, starting out with web design. We talked about writing books for web design a little bit, and then conferences for web design.
Yeah. We talked about, specifically, we ended up talking about the stories from CSS DevConf. And I was actually at CSS DevConf, and I spoke about level 4 selectors there. And it was such a great conference to be a part of.
Well, you asked me what a great story I have from DevConf. What's a great story that you had?
That I had. Well, I first of all, I very much enjoyed the conference overall. I thought it was a very well put on conference. The octopus was incredible. I can't say that's my favorite story because I don't know that that's a valid favorite. I really did appreciate the same things you appreciated, specifically the double blind yielding the audience that it yielded. That was telling of the industry and also of that process, you know. And for clarification, and we won't spend, I don't have the numbers in front of me, Chris, maybe you have some of these numbers available, but it was a pretty decent split in terms of diversity. There were people from all walks and all types of industrial jobs. So people who are building products, people who are in agency world, people who use CSS solely for art, the discussion on fractals, for example, that was a great one. Honestly, one of the most memorable parts of the conference for me, my wife and I, we slept on the boat and the walls were as thin as a piece of paper. I am not kidding you. We heard everything that the people next door. In fact, one morning, somebody had a TV on, and I guess they sleep with their TV on regularly, which, you know, that's fine. But the problem was that they had on, it was like a TV evangelist.
Oh.
And so they were just yelling through the TV the whole time. And my wife and I are laying in bed, like trying to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the people next door, obviously, you know, they don't know that we're awake and waiting for them to turn things down or anything. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's because the Queen Mary was a, because everyone doesn't know, is, you know, it was a steam liner. And it was like the biggest one when it was built. It was on the, one of the fastest ones too. And it had massive, massive, massive engines. And, you know, almost if it was just standing still, the engines were still going on. And because it would make this noise, it would kind of reverberate through the whole ship. And so that you couldn't hear, like, if the engine was still on, you wouldn't be able to hear what your neighbor was doing. But because the engines they're actually removed, because it's technically, the Queen Mary is no longer a ship. It's technically a hotel because it's permanently docked. Is that all the walls you can just hear. And I didn't think it was going to be that much of an issue, but we kind of caught it, you know, during the conference, was that, yes, you could go to the front desk and ask for earplugs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry if you didn't get that message out, but yeah, that's kind of, so we had an issue with that.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, and to clarify, I wouldn't have changed the venue for anything. It was a fantastic venue. well worth the thin wall incidents. Quite honestly, like I said, it actually created a really good memory for us. So, but in terms of, I guess, more serious memories or something, I really actually very much enjoyed the show and tell. And Chris Coyer put this on, and it was upstairs on the top deck, and it was like in a space that's normally a restaurant. But he stood at, or I guess he probably sat most of the time at the front of the room, and anybody in the community could come up and show something they had done. And typically, you know, people are showing code pens, which just happened to be a pretty good segue for Chris anyway. But no, I mean, people were coming up and showing random tools. Some people had even created little demos, like constructed demos that had a timeline that were intended specifically for the show and tell. And it was really cool because these are people, once again, saying like, hey, you know, I didn't get selected as a speaker, but I'm gonna step in front of people and, you know, show off the stuff that I'm doing.
We talked about earlier was that, you know, the knowledge base of the audience is, you know, is bigger than just one person on stage. And so we really wanted to tap into and say, like, you know, let's share what we know.
Yeah.
As the audience can get up there and talk. And so, yeah, it was really awesome that Chris was able to do that and step in. And so that's a new wrinkle we put into DevConf this year. Mm-hmm. Because during that time we have what's the best of. And so what happens is that, so there's voting to get into as a speaker to DevConf. And then there's voting during the conference itself where we actually vote on the session. And so whichever one, you know, there's like, I think top six gets voted on best of, and those six get repeated. So in case you missed it or you're a different session or whatnot, because you always have that multi-track conference, right? Where you always say like, oh, I wish I was in that session because it sounded really cool. You get that fear of missing out, you know, FOMO thing. Like, oh, I missed out on that thing. And so this is a great way of coming back and seeing that. But for those people who may have actually seen those presentations, you know, we worked with Chris Coyer and say, like, hey, what would be great? And he actually does those code show and tells with CodePen at meetups. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a really great way. So if you actually do a meetup or if you want to do a meetup in your town, I think just having a show and tell, you know, a monthly or weekly show and tell is great. And so, you know, fear of missing out, I feel like I missed out.
for those parts.
I feel like I heard great things about it. And Chris Coyer actually has a write-up on CodePen about them in a blog post up there. But yeah, I heard nothing but great things about it.
He and Dave actually talked about, they did a CSS DevConf like wrap-up episode on Shop Talk. And I believe he mentioned quite a few things that happened during the show and tell. But yeah, it was... And that was a very enjoyable part of the conference for sure. But I think it's hard for me to point to a specific moment that I, you know, I would say that stands out. Really just being at a conference with those people. You know, I'd met Chris and I met Dave, and those are people that feel very distant from me, right? When I'm sitting at home here in Tennessee and, you know, I don't really encounter a lot of those kinds of people in my day-to-day life. They're writing blog posts or they're, you know, publishing podcasts that are shaping the way that I do my work in a lot of ways, right? Or they're helping shape the way a lot of people think about the stuff that we use every day. And to actually be in a room with them and hear what they have to say and them actually listen to what I have to say, that's a unique experience. I would definitely recommend going to a conference if you can't tell.
But I do want to mention one thing. Like, I do want, in case anyone's wondering what the octopus thing was.
Oh yeah.
It was actually an 80-foot long balloon octopus.
It was massive, massive.
That we hung from the ceiling of this room, which is the room which happened to be Bob Hope actually presented or performed. We're on a ship, and we thought, like, hey, we're in a ship. We should have a yacht rock concert. So we got a yacht rock band to come in and play. And so I think someone actually said that they were surprised that it wasn't, you know, karaoke. They actually thought it was like they were surprised it was actually a real band.
Yeah.
So before the 80-foot balloon octopus became even an idea, we asked the hotel staff, like, can we bring in fog machines or a bubble machine to go with the concert, right? And they were saying no, because it's a historical building. We can't damage the wood because it's the Queen Mary is a Art Deco museum that floats pretty
sure.
much.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this vintage Art Deco. And they actually have Art Deco conference every year. And so I was like, well, if I can't do that, I'm going to go get balloons. And so it being LA, which is like Long Beach, California, I knew that someone specialized in balloons for parties and events. And so there's this, I think, elite balloon design. Give them a shout out. And I said, like, hey, I need nautical themed balloons. And like, well, we can do an octopus and have it hang. I was like, yes.
that's exactly what we need.
And so and they actually came down when we're based in Austin, Texas. They took a trip to the Queen Mary on their own, talked to the staff there, figured out a way to make it work. And so we actually had to hire a lift to actually go up, and there's a lift, and actually install it up there on top of the
wow
thing like that. So we got done like 1 minute before we opened.
Oh, that's great. So you mentioned briefly the idea of having these meetups. You know, Chris hosts his show and tell in a regular meetup, I guess in Austin, but also they have them in other locations. They have these code pen meetups where people get around, they gather around a computer and they show off their code pens. And, you know, I'm wondering, because you have so much experience with conferences and with community and organizing people, I'd love to know how that kind of goes in those early days, because I know there are people who are listening to this episode right now and you're interested in creating a meetup in your town after hearing about this, or maybe they're even interested in starting a conference, right? I'd love to know, you know, maybe a few tips for them about how to start that community, how to grow it, and maybe some of the biases that they need to be aware of. I mentioned earlier, you know, I don't want to offend people, but there are biases that I know that I have, but I don't know what they are, right? So what are some things that they should keep in mind if they go about creating a community like this?
Well, I mean, like you mentioned biases, but like, you know, the Rights for Humans started at conversations I had with my partner, Ari Stiles, that she used to work for South by Southwest. And as part of her job, she would go out to other conferences and see what they were doing. And then as a speaker, you know, I go to other conferences, including, you know, South by and all stuff. And then I would see how the conferences are put on. And so I, you know, I had this like bucket list item of like, I will actually put on a conference before I die type of thing. And so, and I met Ari, and we sort of like we had a lot of ideas of what kind of the perfect conference would be. And so we just like, I'll just do it. And and actually, no, I didn't just do it. I guess I could have done it, but I was actually a board member for AIGA Cincinnati.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. AIGA is like, you know, a graphic design professional network. And so back then, I'm not sure where they are right now, but they're just a great bunch of people. I love that board. And like, I never felt bad going to an AIG board meeting at Cincinnati. And it's just a great bunch of people. But it's really known for print, because Procter & Gamble, which owns so many companies that you know about, mm-hmm. They do a lot of print design. They do a lot of outsourcing for video and some of that. So web stuff back then, you know, before the iPhone really hit its stride, it was really for Flash. It wasn't really for standards or whatnot. And so I really wanted to talk to them about, like, let's just do a web conference for designers, because there's not much here. It took me a year, because I looked through my email. Like, I think it took me a year to convince them that, yeah, we should do that. And they gave me the green light to go ahead. And so that was, we put together what became known as InControl. And it was a one-track conference with keynotes, two-day one-track keynotes at the end of the day with these great speakers. And I just called in a lot of my colleagues and friends, you know, favors, and like, we're just trying this new thing. It'd be awesome. And the venue space is always always tricky. Mm-hmm. Probably the trickiest part, you know, nailing down the date. And I'm not gonna lie, it's a lot of work, a lot of sweat, a lot of logistical planning, a lot of rolling with the punches. I think running a conference is sort of like being a really good manager, in the sense that I think the biggest, you know, lesson that I learned from when I went to grad school and got project management certification was that it really doesn't matter what happens for a manager when on a project. It's just that you have to take ownership and realize that this will happen and we're going to actually make it work. If you don't have that mentality, then you know most projects are just going to fail. So if you have that mentality with your projects, then you know the success rate's going to go through the roof. And so we did a survey like you do at the end of a conference, and everyone loved it. It was the biggest fundraiser at the time for AIGA Cincinnati.
What a success story.
Yeah, and I also keynoted my own thing, which is like total stress-o-rama too when you're on top of that, and people actually liked it, mm-hmm. which is crazy good. Because I usually do more codey, techie type stuff. I'm really not great at inspirational. You know, so you asked me like, CRISPR, what's the short version of the answer to the story? I gave you a long version. The short story would be, I'd find the big names in your community, like the big agencies or tech, and just ask them if you could use their space for an hour or two. That's a quick, easy way to win space. Co-working is a lot more popular than it was, you know, 5-7 years ago.
Sure.
So you may be able to find space that you might be able to use as a meeting space. That's kind of cheap wins there. Outside of that, it gets kind of a pricey. You might be able to find a Austin is kind of notorious for bars. So we have like a lot of bars. And so we have meetups off of Sixth Street, which is there's actually a bar with a second floor called Buffalo Billiards, which they meet. And then I'm not really sure what the, I'm like, I couldn't speak for them, but you might be able to find a bar that's open, has a lot of space, or a restaurant, mm-hmm. and has a, like maybe a room where you can meet. And if they just donate the room for you for a period of time, as long as someone like you know, buys coffee and lunch, you know, while you're there. Mm-hmm.
That's what they care about.
Yeah. So, you know, I was in a meetup when I lived in Ohio and I met Ben Callahan at, actually I met Ben earlier, but I met one of the times I first met Ben Callahan from Sparkbox, who was in a Panera Bread for a web meetup. And I was presenting on CSS positioning. So, you know, so it doesn't really matter where, as long as people agree to come and talk about that. And we talked about show and tell that Chris Quirk did at CS DevConf. And I would just do a show and tell and just make it like potluck. Like, hey, bring something that you're interested and passionate about and just do a quick show and tell about that. And one of the most stressful things in life, you know, like there's moving, there's, you know, getting a new job or whatever. But, you know, one of the most stressful things is getting on stage and speaking in front of people. So, but by saying like show and tell, like it's a really great way for people to realize that they don't have to plan to speak a long time, for like a 45 minute or half hour. They can just show you what they're working on, mm-hmm. and that's it, and then answering questions. And so it's not like, you know, it shouldn't be a big time commitment.
Yeah, they aren't having to prepare slides necessarily or whatever. They're just kind of coming up and saying, hey, this is what I've been doing. This is what I'm interested in.
Yeah, and it'd be great. They have Q&A and learn so much back and forth. And
I actually have a friend who is starting a conference, so this is partially a question that he was asking for me to kind of pitch up to you as well. But this is all really interesting stuff because there's, I mean, the theme of what you're saying is just come up with ideas for people to hang out and get value from it, right? Like there's no rules to the game necessarily. It's just, you know, what are ways that you can lower the stress on people who are coming, especially the presenters, and increase the value for people who are coming to listen to those people.
Yeah. And I mean, and then there's, you know, there's like the show and tell model, and then, which I think is probably like the easiest way just to meet people. But there's also like, you know, you can build around themes or subject matters, like Nick and Sandy Politech here in Austin, they do the WordPress meetups here. Mm-hmm. And when I first met them, they were doing like maybe 2 or 3 a month. And now I think they're doing like 16 million a month. No, but no, they're doing like so many a month now. But they actually listen to, they do a survey every year. They listen to what the survey says. And they have like, you know, a WordPress for beginners. They have a WordPress for, you know, for advanced people. They have WordPress for content, and you know, Austin is, you know, has like 1 to 2 million people in it. So it's, you know, so they actually move WordPress meetups. They have different locations that they've worked out with different spots around Austin. So if you can't make one, hopefully, you know, because it's too far away, hopefully they'll get closer to you. You know, and location is a big part of that. So they definitely keep an eye out for that. So there's WordPress, and there's like, you can do, if there's not a JavaScript one, I would, you know, probably start JavaScript meetup in your area. You know, that could be a little bit too broad.
Sure.
So, but you know, there's CSS, there's a SAS meetups out there. So you just, you know, whatever is really what your passion is, you know, if you're into UX, start a UX meetup, whatever discipline or specialty.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to take a quick sponsor break, and then we'll come back and talk about some of what you've learned from the actual content in this year's conferences. I want to talk to you about maybe, you know, what you see is coming up in the future, what you think are emerging tools and that kind of stuff. But first, I want to take a break to ask the listeners to take a few minutes today and subscribe to Developer Tea, but also go and check out the other shows on spec.fm. Spec has a variety of awesome content with other providers, not just me, but other people. Design Details, for example, it's a design-related podcast. There's a ton of awesome content on spec.fm that I believe each and every person who listens to this show, you can find another show on spec.fm that you will enjoy just as much, if not more, than Developer Tea. And it's not just podcasts. We also have written content, and we are looking to get into video in 2016, most likely. So watch out for that. Go to spec.fm. You will find a ton of other awesome content. Of course, the show notes are at spec.fm anyway, so you should already be going to spec.fm if you listen to Developer Tea. Hopefully you know about the other shows on Spec at this point. And hopefully I have told you many times by now, you have heard, that subscribing to the show and rating us in iTunes is the easiest way to help Developer Tea, and it helps other developers just like you because it helps them find the show. When you subscribe and when you rate the show, it actually helps the show to rise in the iTunes rankings. Transparently, that's exactly why we ask you to rate the show. So if you want Developer Tea to rise in the iTunes rankings, then giving us a review in iTunes is one of the best ways to help that happen. And the reason that that's important is because other people who are browsing for shows about development, they'll see Developer Tea a little bit easier. If you leave that review, it will help us rise in the rankings, and they will see the show a little bit easier. Of course, the listeners of this show are the reason the show exists. And if there are more listeners, then the show has even more of a reason to continue doing what we do. So thank you so much for making Developer Tea possible. I would also like to invite you to join the Spec Community Slack group. You can do that by going to spec.fm/slack. And you sign up with your email. It's totally free, and it will always be free. All of the hosts of all of the shows on Spec, including myself, we are all on that Slack community. We're all members. We're always active in the chat rooms. We would love to see you on that Slack community. But it's not just us. There are over 2,000 other developers and designers who hang out on that Slack community, and you can connect with them and talk about the things that you're building, talk about the problems that you're facing. It is an incredible opportunity to connect with other people in the industry who are facing similar problems to you, who are creating similar things to you, and it ultimately provides value because when you connect with other people, you learn. You learn a lot from other people, the experiences and the problems that other people face, and they share in that Slack community. So go and check it out, spec.fm/slack, and of course, make sure you check out the other shows and the other content providers on the Spec Network. Now let's get back into the interview with Chris. So we've been talking about meetups and cultivating communities, you know, creating situations that people can come and talk about the things they're interested in, whether that's user experience or some really specific technology. And Chris is kind of an expert on the subject. He runs Environments for Humans. And as a result of that, Chris, you've had an opportunity to not only be the organizer of these events, but you attend every single one naturally. So you have the opportunity to be exposed to a lot of the newest, latest, greatest things that are happening in this industry. And so I'd love to ask you a few questions about the industry, the direction it's going, and maybe what's happening. You know, this, we're nearing the end of 2015. You know, maybe what you see is happening in 2016. So the first question is kind of the obvious one. What tools or technologies do you see as becoming more important, or kind of the year of 2016, kind of focusing on these technologies? What do you see emerging as a result of, you know, being in these conference talks that you've been a part of?
We put on at Environments for Humans, we put on events that we would like, I would like to go to,
sure,
like we would like to go to, but we're usually so busy that we usually can't really grok what's going on a lot of the time. But yeah, so that's, and case in point is CSS DevConf, because like I love CSS DevConf, and I wish I could just hold, you know, just go to it one day and actually not worry about it. Because it sounds like a fun conference.
It is. I can tell you, I was there.
One thing I noticed, like for sure, like SVG, I think we had kind of a mini SVG track.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within CSS DevConf, because we had Sarah Sweden there as keynote. And then we kind of like, we did it on purpose a little bit. We actually had the SVG tracks. Sessions all lined up after each other.
I was wondering if you did it on purpose or not. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think it's called Green Sock.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The GS API.
I think I didn't know about Green Sock until I was at DevConf. And so it helps for animations for vector SVG and stuff like that. So I feel like that's SVG and that, you know, it's good, do great with that. In fact, we're actually doing an SVG summit.
Mm-hmm.
January 21st.
Oh, great.
Because it was just like so impactful. Like oh, here is a true responsive image format.
Mm-hmm.
And it does so much more than just, you know, line art icon. So we should probably do like a SVG and accessibility deep dive with animations and just see how far the rabbit hole goes with SVGs. So I was really impressed with that. It kind of blew my mind, you know, especially with typography and SVG being demonstrated there. Flexbox, I think Flexbox is going to be, I'm not sure how many people are using Flexbox right now, but I feel like it's going to probably be de facto pretty soon, especially after, you know, IE9 goes away and IE8 goes away. Support for Microsoft, you know, I think that's, this past week alone, like there's a lot of people writing kind of nuanced articles about Flexbox and the mystery, you know, of you know, using Ed's child for stacking things with Flexbox and some of that too. So I found that's pretty good. And JavaScript, period. You know, if you don't know JavaScript, I think, you know, this is a battle cry 5 years ago, you know, and it's like just no JavaScript, because I think, you know, Skynet is written in JavaScript. And with WordPress, I think, you know, it was just like, I should learn JavaScript more than what I do now 5 years ago. And I feel like by WordPress saying that, you know, they're making a huge shift and telling people to learn JavaScript deeply, I feel like that's just like, for me, I feel like that was like, you know, dong, like it's a big bell just went off, and like just need to know more about that. And but personally for me, as some guy who is more of a front end person, just grunt and gulp, and just knowing those tools to help automate, you know, SVG, you know, export back, you know, fallbacks, pinging, templating, just doing everything so you don't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Just automating everything. I think if you're a web designer, front-end person, if you don't know that, just either own Gulp or Grunt, whichever one makes you happy.
Sure. I use Gulp, personally. I really enjoy Gulp.
Yeah. So whatever floats your boat, I think you just need to have automated and learn command line and be happy with it, which I don't think I ever will be, but I think we'll get there.
Yeah. It's funny because the people who listen to this podcast, we have all different kinds of people from all different backgrounds. I got an email from someone who is actually a banker and they listen to this podcast. My guess is, you know, there are plenty of developers who currently feel like they're behind listening to this episode. And you just heard somebody who's been in the industry for quite a long time, successfully, by the way. Chris is a successful person. He is not focused on learning the command line like right now, right? Like that's not his ultimate goal. In fact, he's been very successful having not known the command line. So, I'm not saying that to say that you shouldn't learn the command line. Certainly, that's a tool that's probably useful to learn. But the point is that if you feel like you're behind, you're okay. that I want that to be the overwhelming message on this show, that falling behind is very often, that is a fallacy.
Yeah, I think with our industry being so, we talked about how fast it moves, you know, before. Yeah, it just, there's just so much. And that's like one of the reasons why we do our events, is so people can you know, especially our remote conferences as well, is that so people don't have to take time to fly out, mm-hmm. you know, or spend time away from friends or family, and they can just spend just one day, or like if it's multi, you know, or 2 days or whatever, with a remote conference and just focus on, you know, JavaScript or SVG and get caught up mm-hmm. with the industry, and so and not feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so behind on that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so that kind of gives us an idea of tools in that landscape. The second part of that question is, you know, what do you think is going to change in terms of workplace culture, and especially for the young developer as they come into the industry? What do you see the industry moving towards culturally and supporting culturally?
I don't think I can answer that honestly per se, but in terms, I'm going to lie to you, but I just want to say, like, I've been working for myself for almost 15 years now. So my culture is like, you know, I get to wear what I want, you know, I jeans and a t-shirt. It's awesome. So I don't have a different thing, but you know, from, you know, I've always said, like, you know, if you can be that freelancer, mm-hmm. I think the future is going to be the person who can brand themselves and be their own boss. I feel like that's happening a lot more, where they can actually connect and interact. And not to say that's for everyone. That's not for everyone. It's, you know, it's very tough sometimes to be a freelancer out there. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, I feel like if you're not in a good or a positive work environment, I would, you know, and you know what you know, like if you know JavaScript or you know tools and you're in demand, I would say, like, you know, look around,
yeah,
and find a spot that you like, and you know, and don't just like leave every like month or like every year. Just like just stay there, and if you enjoy it, you know, just realize that you work at a place that is positive and reinforces what you do, and you know, and just enjoy it. You know, life is short, and if you find a job that you're at and you're happy, kudos, man. Because like, there's so many people who don't have that.
That is so true. That's incredibly true. Yeah, that actually answers one of the questions that I like to ask all developers, which is, you know, what advice would you give every developer if you just had 30 seconds? I would assume that answers that pretty decently. Just the idea that, you know, enjoy what you have. And I think a lot of developers, they feel like just culturally, you know, this industry, there's a lot of turnover. And people like to jump between opportunities because they exist, probably, you know, rather than, well, do I really actually want to leave this place, right? Like, if you are enjoying your job, remember there is some canonical wisdom in understanding that the grass is always greener, right? You will always have opportunities, especially because I think we mentioned it on the last part of the interview. But the demand in this industry is much higher than the supply currently. So you're going to have opportunities forever. But the opportunity that you have when you stay in one place, when you invest in the people that you are working with, and you cultivate relationships that go a little bit further than, you know, 1 year or whatever, that is something that people in this industry, unfortunately, a lot of the time, they miss out on that. And so there's some value there. Now, obviously, everybody's different, right? But I'm that way. Yeah. And I think, and you are that way, Chris. I think some people are kind of pressured to move quickly and to move around a lot. And you don't have to do that.
Back in, like, you know, last century, and before that, you know, people would stay at their job for 20, 40 years, whatever, mm-hmm. and get a gold watch. You know, that's not going to happen there, but anymore. I just feel like, you know, if you feel like it's time to move on, that's awesome. Like, listen to your heart and move on. But you know, you don't have to jump around and find that. But if you're happy with your work, you know, just realize, like, you know, you don't stay there, you know, because I say so. But just, like, you know, just realize, like, hey, you're happy, and you know, not many people can say that about the job. But if someone comes along with a better offer, hey, you know, always listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had somebody ask me about this recently. Somebody mentioned, you know, I got this dream job offer, and I feel like I need to be there for the people at my current job. And I said to them, you know, quite honestly, your first responsibility, in my opinion, is to be there for you, because nobody else is going to, you know, nobody is going to care about you for as long as you care about you, or as deeply as you care about you. And that is a responsibility. Taking care of yourself is important. And it's not about being selfish. It's not about any of those things. It's about understanding that the ball is in your court, right? So don't let anybody push you around in either direction. Don't let me or Chris push you around for that matter. But certainly don't feel like you have to leave just because, you know, the opportunity presents itself to leave. Chris, I'm going to ask you one more question, and it's a question that I like to ask all the guests that come on Developer Tea, as long as I remember to ask them. And that question is, what do you wish more people would ask you about?
That is a very good question. I wish I had a really good answer for that. I have no idea what they would ask me about. Like, how to make a great conference? I don't know. How to get so tall? How do I write so many books? I don't know. I would ask people, how can I help them be better at what they do?
Yeah.
Or help them be better for XYZ. Because I feel like one of my talents I love is being able to take something that someone else has built and make it better. Mm-hmm. And say, like, here's some constructive criticism on how we can make this really a more interesting piece or presentation or whatnot. So if someone can ask me, like, hey, Chris, what do you think of this?
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a really valuable thing. You know, we always ask people this question because it strips away, it typically ends up stripping away some of the technical discussions, and it gets to the underlying motivations that drive people. Some people will say that they wish that people would ask them to tell more stories about their experiences. And that's surprising coming from a developer sometimes, because if you hear that from a developer, that's kind of, you know, a lot of people, I think, assume that developers have a perspective of the world that's more logically constructed or, you know, doesn't have space for that. But that's not necessarily true. So it's always interesting, I think, to explore that question, because it really lends some insight to who you are as a person. Chris, this has been a very interesting interview. If you are listening to this episode and you did not hear the first part, I highly encourage that you go back and listen to that. But before you do that, go and subscribe to Chris's show, Non-Breaking Space. This is actually one of the podcasts that inspired me to start podcasting. It was one of the very first podcasts that I ever listened to about web development. So it was a very good show. You can find that. I assume, Chris, the best place to find it is iTunes, but what are other places that people can find you?
You can find it at nonbreakingspace.tv. Twitter is Teleject, TELEJECT. And then I'm pretty much Teleject everywhere after that. So Facebook or whatnot. So, and then I think ChristopherSchmidt.com is my much neglected website.
and we will definitely include all those links in the show notes, which people can find at spec.fm, along with all the other show notes from every other episode of Developer Tea. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Developer Tea. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe to the show in whatever podcasting app that you use and rate the show in iTunes. That helps other developers just like you find Developer Tea. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, enjoy your tea.